If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. So I think for the next few weeks, months, years, decades, however long it takes us, we're going to look at Ephesians. I can't promise this is going to be a verse-by-verse study like I want to do with Romans. This may be more of a walk through Ephesians where we just hit the highlights. But I've entitled this study, Who We Are in Christ. If anything, Ephesians teaches us who we are individually as believers and who we are as a congregation of believers in Jesus Christ. That's who our identity rests in. It doesn't rest in a denomination. It doesn't rest in a church. We're members of New Freedom, but that's not what we identify as. We are Christians. We are in Christ. You know, I don't go around telling people I'm a Baptist, I'm a Free Will Baptist. No, I'm in Christ. That's my identity, is in Him. So, Paul begins, Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You're going to notice quickly that the phrase in Christ appears often throughout this chapter. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Several years ago, I read a story in the LA Times where they were investigating this elderly couple that had died in their apartment. And they had died from malnutrition. Malnutrition. They starved to death in their apartment. And what makes the story even more weird is that when investigators went into the apartment, they found stuffed in the closet bags of cash, totaling almost $40,000. So you have this couple who is literally starving themselves to death, sitting within arm's reach of enough funds to immediately alleviate any hunger whatsoever. They can live on steak for $40,000. They can eat steak every meal for that kind of money. But they literally starve themselves, not realizing what they had to hand. Sadly, I think believers can be a lot like that couple. We don't realize what we have. We don't realize who we are in Christ. So look what Paul says. He begins with his typical introduction. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. This is similar to what we read in Romans. He talks about how he is called by God. He is a servant of God. He is not appointed by his mama, his daddy didn't choose him to be an apostle. He was called by God to be an apostle. And he writes to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So look how he addresses this passage, this book. He addresses it to whom? Saints. Now, oftentimes we have a hierarchy of Christianity, don't we? We've got the everyday Christian, we've got the super spiritual Christians, and we've got those Christians that, you know, they're like the uncle we don't talk about. You know, they're over here. You know, those are the backslidden guys, you know, that they're okay. They're not really okay, they're okay. But when Paul writes this letter, he doesn't make any words. He writes it to the saints which are in Ephesus. One thing the scriptures teaches us is that sainthood isn't something that is earned or bestowed by some pope in a funny hat. That sainthood is given to all of us who are believers in Christ. Yes? Yeah. We are all saints.
We are all saints. There is no hierarchy. He says to the saints and to the faithful. Now, is he speaking of two different groups of believers? Well, there's saints, then there's faithful saints. Is that what he's doing? You don't think so? I don't think so, for one reason. The word translated faithful is the Greek word pistos. The Greek word pistos is translated other places like, let me look this up because I don't want to steer you wrong. In 1 Timothy 4:12 and 1 Peter 1:21, it is literally translated believer. The word is translated believer. So throughout the New Testament, this word pistos means faithful and it means believer because it is the ones who exercise faith in Christ that are what? Believers. So when Paul says he's addressing this to the saints which are in Christ and to the faithful, it is not meaning two separate people. It is the saints who are the faithful ones in Christ. Amen? You and I, we are in Christ. We are believers because of our faith. We have a position in Him that cannot change. And our faithfulness will be exemplified because of who we are. Because of who we are. You can try to work your Christianity outward in and in, and it's not going to work. You can act the part, you can play the part, but it's not going to make you a Christian.
That's right.
You can sit in a garage and it's not going to make you a car. I don't care how much gasoline you drink. You can play the part, but it doesn't work that way. The Bible teaches us over and over and over again that what changes is in here. Yeah. Christ gives us a new heart. Christ gives us a new spirit. He places His Spirit within us. And our Christianity works its way out. It's not man-made. It's not manufactured. It is there by nature of who we are in Christ. When you have a light, let's say it was sunny out, because it was sunny out when I started this, but now it's not so sunny. But the light is going to shine outside. Why? Because the sun's there. You can put shades over these windows, but you're not doing anything to the light outside. It's there because by nature, the sun is bright. You and I are Christians, and our life will reflect the life of Christ because of who we are as believers. Yes? We are going to live that life out. It's not going to be perfect. Don't get me wrong. We're never going to be perfect. There's no one perfect here except my wife. You learn that in Marriage Counseling 101. As Pastor Johnny said, he said, when Beck and I first got married, he said, I'll tell you, Travis, how to have a happy home. He takes out a white handkerchief. He says, you just learned to do this. And he'll wave the flag of surrender. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But there is going to be a difference between who we are now and what we were before we met Christ. There is going to be a difference. We are going to stumble. We are going to fall. We are going to have problems. We are going to have difficulties. We are going to have besetting sins, as the book of Hebrews tells us. That is going to happen. We're not going to be perfect, but there's always going to be a trend line that shows the direction we're heading. We're always going to be trending upwards. But we're going to look a lot like the stock market. We're going to dip and we're going to dive, but that trend line is always headed to Him. When Paul addresses this letter to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, he's not saying there's two separate categories of Christians. There's only lost people and saved people in the world. That's it. There's not lost people and those that are not so lost and Christians. No. There are only those who are in Christ. That is why the Bible says over and over and over again, Jesus warns us about false professions. False professions. Just because someone says they're a Christian doesn't make it so. But that's Sunday morning's message. But anyway, which is the problem why you never study your Sunday morning message on a Wednesday. Notice what he says. Verse 2. Grace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us exactly where our source of grace and peace are from. Amen? Yeah. You're not going to get peace from this world. You're not going to get grace from this world. The world is hard, as one person said, the world is hard to get a helmet. Where does grace and peace come from? From God through Jesus Christ. You can have peace no other way. The book of Romans, which we'll learn later, I'll jump to it now. The book of Romans tells us that we are what? We are enemies of God. Before you are in Christ, you are an enemy of God. You are literally at war with the Father until who? Christ. And in Christ, you have been made at peace with God. You're at peace with God. You can be at peace with yourself because of who you are in Christ. You are what? Forgiven. Amen? You don't have to worry about your past sins. As Paul says in Philippians, he says what? Learning to forget the things which are behind. I press for what? Towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul was a rotten person before he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Amen? Rotten person. Despicable person. He was a murderer. He tried to destroy the church. I often wondered if Paul, when he got up to preach at crowds around where he was, if there were people who he had arrested previously. I often wonder if there's people sitting in the crowds that he had their son or their daughter carted off because they were Christians and thrown in prison. I wonder if there's people sitting there that he had family members executed because of their faith in Christ. And he stands there and he knows how to preach because he knows how to put his past behind him. In Christ, you are forgiven. You can have peace with yourself because of who you are in Jesus. But notice also, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be God. Praise be to God that we were paupers. We were poor. But we were made princes. He says, he has blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings, not physical blessings. Amen? We all don't have the same what? The same body? We don't have all the same. We don't have all the same bank accounts, right?
No.
We don't all drive the same cars. We don't all have the same houses. Jesus never said he's going to bless us each materially the same way. But he does say that all of us have the same blessings spiritually. There are no poor children of God when it comes to the spiritual blessings. Amen? You have the same access to God as I do. I am not a priest that comes down and blesses the people and, you know, intercedes on your behalf. Amen. There is none of that. We all have the same access to Christ, the same access to the Father, because of who we are in Jesus. We are blessed and given the same spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They don't exist always here on earth. There is not a bank account that has your name on it that you can go to and says, Jesus bought that for me. No, these are blessings where? In heavenly places. We are rich in Christ. We are rich in Christ. You go to countries like China. You go to countries in the Middle East where Christians are persecuted, where they can't get a job because the government has rescinded their work visa because they are a believer in Christ. That's what the Chinese are doing. They're no longer jailing Christians. No, they're revoking their work permit. So they catch you at an underground meeting. They won't send you to jail. They'll pull your work permit, and you cannot get a job without it. So they have nothing, and they have everything, because they have Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And the next few verses, Paul outlines many of those blessings that we have in Christ. But let us tonight go away with this thought. You're blessed. I'm blessed even if I didn't have a job. Amen. I'm blessed even if I have to hang turkeys rather than enter data. I'm blessed even if I don't have my health. I'm blessed even if I'm at a funeral for one of my children. I'm still blessed because of who I am in Christ Jesus. Because of who I am in Him, I am blessed. Amen?
Amen. All right. So tonight, for our prayer service, this is what I want us to do. Just a few moments, silently, I want you to think and thank God for who you are in Him. What you have in Him. Think of the abundant riches you have in Jesus Christ. You're forgiven. You have peace with God. You have peace with yourself. You don't have guilt like you had before you came to know Him. You know what it is to be at peace because of what Christ has made in your life. You have Him. You have everything. Though you have nothing to eat, though you have nothing to wear, you have everything because you have Him. Amen? So let's pray silently where we are for a few moments, and I'll close us out. Father, we thank You for who You have made us to be in Christ. We thank You, Lord, that the Christian life isn't something that we have to work up ourselves. That it's not something that we have to constantly burden ourselves with because we're not performing. Thank You, Lord, that it is in Christ, in me, that lives. My only responsibility is to simply let His light shine more and more from my life.